Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
When Jesus had been through the cross and had risen again, he appeared to his disciples and he spoke about the kingdom of heaven. And he wanted to bring the disciples into everything he had died for. He wants every follower to come into everything that he died for. And when he spoke to his disciples, we can read it in the book of Acts chapter 1. Before he left, he said, I'm going to give you the very best gift I could give you. So he wasn't leaving without sort of a final gesture of extravagance, actually, generosity. He said, I'm going to give you the best gift I could give you. I'm not going to leave you powerless. I'm not going to leave you without the ability and the power to live the abundant life personally, but also to live the same power that you saw me live in. To experience the very same life that you saw me live. I will not leave you powerless. I'm going to give my church this amazing and most wonderful gift. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We don't receive power without the Holy Spirit. We receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And when you're born again by the Spirit. But the Word of God is wanting us to experience not just a new birth, but an absolute immersion or baptism in the Holy Spirit, being totally filled with Him, the person of God Himself. Another just like Jesus. And Jesus taught His disciples, and it's a very important teaching, and it's so relevant for you and me today. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's not just going to give you goosebumps. You might have an occasional goosebump experience. He's not just going to kind of give you visions or enable you to experience the love of God. He's not just going to do amazing things in your witnessing to the world and heal the sick through you. It's not just a force or a power by which we say, wasn't that powerful? Jesus said, He will be with you and He will be in you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He will be with you and He will be in you. And He is basically saying, I'll give you the same power to manifest my life and do the things that I did because I give you my Holy Spirit. So if anybody has the wonderful, precious gift of the Holy Spirit, they have the same power that Jesus had to live the life of obedience to the Father. The life of serving God and serving others. And to live the fullness of life, which is joy and peace and understanding and fellowship with the Father. Every good thing you see in the Gospels that Jesus lived in, He says it's for you because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And He said it's not just that, it's the power to do the same things. So Jesus said that power is yours through the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, you probably know the scripture quite well, but I'm going to read this. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19 is speaking about this kind of insight into what we have in Christ. And Paul is praying that we will see what is in us. Say, I pray, Lord, I will see this morning what is in me. I want to see what is in me. And Paul says, I pray that your eyes will be enlightened through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better. I pray that I pray that your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you've been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Where is his rich, glorious inheritance? Who's a saint? A saint is a holy one. Now, religious teaching has meant that there are only a few, and you've got to be voted in by the Pope. However, biblical teaching, which is the truth, is that whoever is in Christ is called a saint. And the word means a holy one, set apart for God, different than what you used to be. You used to be set apart for yourself and to live the life you and the world wanted you to and the devil. But now you're a holy one. So the inheritance is in the saints, that you may know this glorious, rich inheritance in you. If we could just take our natural glasses off and take a look into your spirit, right here, right now, you're that rich in God. You're that different because God himself has made you his dwelling place. That you can never be called an ordinary person. God is the extraordinary factor, the X factor in your life. God is in you, the Holy Spirit in you. And Paul prays that we would know this rich and have an understanding of this rich inheritance. Verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Incomparably great. The greatest power in the world is in you. Because the greatest power in the world is God, the Holy Spirit. His power isn't over there. It's not in another room today. And if you're a believer this morning, it's not just in somebody else around you. The greatest power in the universe is in you. And that power is the incomparably greatness of his power. And so Jesus said, when I send the Holy Spirit, I will not leave you powerless. It'll change from powerless to incomparably great power. How many want to live in that last statement of truth? How do you want to experience that last statement of truth? And not just talk about the powerlessness of our humanity, of our circumstances and situations, but begin to look at incomparably great power towards us who believe, the scripture says. In the Bible, the power of God is always connected to a person who believes. God always hooks up with someone who believes. This little word, believe, makes a difference from powerless Christian living into power-filled, incomparably great power. And the word believe, let's not misinterpret and get so used to this word that we think we know what it means. Because the power is available today, right now, for you, if that second part of the equation, believe, is a reality in your heart. Because with the heart you believe. In your heart, you trust. To believe actually is a doing word. It's not passive. To say, I believe in God today and go out without any power is not real faith. If I don't get this release of power today, it's not because God doesn't want to release his power into every need that is in me and my life. It's that this belief isn't happening in me. Sorry to be so simple, but his incomparably great power towards us who believe. Paul is speaking to believers who continue to trust every day, every moment, to depend on him and not on themselves. And in that dependence or trust, simply trusting him for your source of power, you will experience incomparably great power. To those who act on what he says is true and not what they feel currently, may the Lord deliver us from feeling churches or feeling having to feel to actually see the power happen. Unless I feel it, it can't be powerful. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God is here. His spirit is in you. The greatest power in the universe is here in you. And as we act on the presence and person of God in us, trusting him, it's like you will see a release, as Jesus said, he who believes in me out of his innermost being, his heart will flow rivers of living water. The power of the Holy Spirit will start to flow, not just be in you, begin to move. Anybody want a move of God? Anybody want a move of God personally? Believe and you will see. Only believe, Jesus said, and you will see. So don't live in the realm of your feelings or a past experience you might have had that God has given you. I know some people have experienced God in a particular way and they get so held up in that particular experience that they think God is never going to do anything but that one thing. And God wants to wean us off experiences onto believing, because believing moves us into the greater experiences he has for us. Then Paul says, I pray that you will kind of know this power. And then he describes this power. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. I mean, when God works, let's say it's going to be a strong work. It's going to be the most successful thing. Yes. Human endeavors, we can achieve quite a lot on our own. It's true. But when it's the working of God or the power of God, let's say he's going to be slightly better than you or me. So Paul begins to describe that power. Come on. That power. We want that power. The Christian life is not about getting through our weaknesses. It's about the power of God overcoming our weaknesses. It's not about trying to get through. It's about believing so that the power of God is released through your life. Trusting, simply depending on him. You see, it's against everything you and I really want to do, because we think we've got it what it takes, baby. We think we can work it out, but we can't. And Paul says that power is the same. It's like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the power that you have is raising the dead power. The same power that raised Christ is the power you have. Didn't just raise him from the dead, he raised him and seated him at the right hand of the Father. So, in other words, it ain't going to stop on an earthly dimension. It's going to break through into the God kind of dimension. It's not going to be an ordinary power that you and I can experience. We are to taste the powers of the age to come. Do you understand that? That we are a people called to taste the power of God here now, so that we might get to have a kind of preview of the reality of heaven. Taste means experience. God wants you to experience his power. Say experience. Thank you, Lord. That same power that raised Christ from the dead. From the dead. Do you know what dead is? Can't do anything. So in view of the power that you have and I have, there must be a question. Big Q. Or a big question mark. What are we doing with this power? Is that a good question? It's a good question for me too. What am I doing with this power? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I see an army of powerful believers. I see as he sees. Not as I feel. Not as my experience tells me. I see as he sees. I believe it. And then I will see it. What are we doing with this gift that Jesus has said you won't be powerless in the life you live today? You see, so many Christians remain weak. They stay weak, and maybe even their doctrines have taught them to celebrate staying weak. Well, it's good for me to be weak. But God wants to do something to change that weakness. To show that he is actually God. So that you come to a place where I can't do anything. To a dead place. How many of you know a dead place for a believer is actually the best place? The greatest miracles happen out of dead places. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can begin to work in that dead situation. You're saying, oh, well, you're not being real. Pastor Judith, you're a preacher. You're single. You don't married with it. To who I'm married with, you haven't got kids. You seem to be all right. Have no trouble. You're just a bit unreal. You're one of these preachers that tell us what we should be in. And you never experience trouble. I experience trouble. I experience persecution. I experience sickness. I experience emotional dry times. I experience, sometimes, have I missed it? I experience, I don't think I can do it anymore. But the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive. In me. So I can be as real as you like, but I want the real power more than harping on about what's wrong. I don't want to harp on about what's wrong. I want to see the real power. I want to see the real power. Where I have no power, He becomes my power. He becomes my ability. He becomes my resurrection. Jesus said it. In the world you'll have trouble. That's real preaching. But don't miss out the second bit. But be of good cheer. Don't be miserable. Don't be depressed. Don't get down, because I've overcome the world. In other words, I've won the victory so that you can enter into the victory that I won for you on the cross and the resurrection. So hey, be of good cheer, because you are an overcomer. The same power. The same. Same. The same. In 2013, the same. The same power, the same. Not different. Jesus says it's the same. And I believe my Jesus. Everything He says is true. He does not lie. He is not a man that He should lie. He doesn't say it's not according to your experience. He says only believe and you're gonna see the power of God in your life. Our part is to do the believing. His part is releasing the power. Let's not get those two things confused and start to look for power without faith. There's no point in me saying I believe in power just for power's sake. But if I say, Jesus, I can't do this, but I trust you to do it in and through me. What is that? That's my trust in the person of the Holy Spirit. Say, I can't, but you can. Brilliant. So you go right ahead, and I'll go right ahead and believe. I'll believe I'll see the power of God in my life. So be of good cheer, because I believe it. We believe it. We all experience physical weakness. I mean, I got a bug similar to Haley's bug. I don't know if anybody else of you got that bug at the beginning of the week. I went home Sunday after the conference tired. It was a fantastic weekend. But the Holy Spirit's here now. So we're not looking back, we're looking to Him. But I was really sick. Sick, sick, sick. I mean, gosh, I'm not going to celebrate the sickness, but my word, it was a bad one. That bug was bad. It was a bad bug. And all bugs are bad. Only God is good. And do you know, I was... laid out. And you realize in times like that, and in anything that you go through in life where you feel weak, whether it's emotionally weak, whether it's physically weak, or whether it's your will, you know, your will is weak. You're saying, Lord, I know I should pray. I know I should kind of give. I know I should love that person. But I'm just tired. I don't want to anymore. I quit. You know, we all go through the times where we want to quit, don't we? And where, you know, you have this strange battle going on. I want to serve God. But then when a situation comes up, my flesh gets the better of me every time. And there's this to-ing and fro-ing. My heart says, seek the Lord. My flesh says, go on, do that. And it's like this strange mix between having a moment of prayer going, yes, I'm all for God, and then crash. I'm all for me. And that is a real issue in all of us. There isn't one of us in this room that hasn't not wanted to do what God wants. You know, we have a part of us that says, don't want to give that up. Don't want to get up and pray. I don't want to love that person. Do you know what they did to me? You mean I've got to forgive? Do you know how bad it is? At work? I want to run away. But the point is, if we live by self-power, we will run away. We'll end up in the flesh. We'll end up in the ditch. We'll end up even not living like a believer. But the point is, we can choose to believe that His power is able to keep me from falling. God is able to keep me from falling. Hebrews says He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. What is the uttermost? That means your emotions, your mental battles, your will battles. God is able to save your will. Just trust Him, give it to Him, and He will do an amazing work. The point is surrender. Don't fight. Give it up to the Lord. Because in the surrender and trust is the power. Thank you, Lord. Loving your enemies, well, that's a bridge too far. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. The same power to endure until your promise comes. To not just say, it hasn't happened in my time scale, in my way, so I'm out of here. But the power to endure is the power of the Holy Spirit. God Himself has not left you powerless. I will give you power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In 2 Corinthians, let's just turn there and we're going to pray in a minute. Thank you, Lord, for your power that lives in us. Thank you, Lord, it's the same power. It makes dead things live. It brings strength into weakness. It changes sickness to health. It turns around somebody's will. Your power is the greatest power in the world. Amen. Second Corinthians 1. Here's Paul's real testimony. And the encouragement and comfort of the scriptures says, hey, they were just like us. But what did they do to get beyond the problem and into the power? Do you not want to go beyond problems? I just want. And God wants His whole church to live in the power, not in the problems. I mean, these people, you know, do not make an excuse for your flesh. Stop it. Do you know, you and I are so tempted to say, well, it's because. The reason I'm like this is because, well, I was brought up like that. My parents always said I was going to be like that. Jesus has power to deliver you from all of that. Don't make excuses. Well, you know, I just want to get involved with all of this stuff. I can't help it as you take your fifth drink. Don't make excuses for your flesh. Don't pamper your flesh. Don't do a pamper session. Do a reality session. Say, do you know what? In my flesh there really dwells no good thing. That's the true report. But I thank you, Lord, you've delivered me. that on the cross I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not going to live an excuse life. I will live a believing life. There is power in believing. Guys, there's deliverance in believing. There is a freedom in your life that comes through believing. Anything you're facing at the moment, any need in this room will be met because the Holy Spirit's power is in you and you start to believe it. In the here and now. Not tomorrow or when you have a moment in worship. Moment. Oh, I can believe now I shook. Oh, I had a vision. Just believe God. Even if you don't feel or think, see anything, believe, trust him, and that power will deliver you. Paul says here, verse 8, I love this testimony of Paul's, because if anybody had a tough time, you know, tribulation, in this world you'll have tribulation. Paul was kind of like quite a forerunner of the old trib. He pioneered the tribulation. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. So in other words, here's a spot of information about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. Honest, isn't it? Don't you love honesty? We were under great pressure. It's not denying that there are issues and weakness. You understand me? Faith isn't denial. Faith is an acknowledgement of the situation, but you don't camp in the situation. You start to camp in the Lord and faith. You live there. But he is acknowledging it. He's saying we're under great pressure. You might be under great pressure at the moment. Immense pressure. And it says here that it was even far beyond our ability to endure. So Paul, this great, awesome man of God, is saying, actually, if you'd spoken to him in that moment, he'd have said, I can't go on. Might be you today. I can't go on. Just can't go on. It's too much. Can't do it. Beyond even the ability to endure, so that we despaired even of our lives. In other words, I think I'm going to die. And he might have been referring to the time where they stoned him and left him for dead. I don't know. But I think this wasn't like a modern day Christian kind of job isn't going too well. I think I'll die. We have such low tolerance, really, for trouble. And Paul is actually talking about stoned to death, left for dead. You can read about it. And so this is like a very real, maybe the doctors would have agreed with him as well. It's that bad. The real report is, I think I'm going to die. But then look at this. Oh, these words are life-saving and life-changing if you'll hear them. This is the word of God. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves. Something bad's going on in your life. Say, this has happened so that I won't rely on me. You're about to turn your life around into a miracle. This happened so that I wouldn't rely on me. It's a transfer of dependence. Rely is another word for believe or trust. Rely. If you rely on someone, you depend on them. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves. As soon as you start to rely on yourself, you become powerless. And one of the marks of a powerless Christian is they spend their lives just depending on what they can do. God wants to move you out into what you can't do. So that like Peter and John, you say, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. That's the realm he's got for you to live in. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Is everybody a Christian in this room today? Okay, so that means you? That you may not rely on yourself. Pastor Andrew said it in the prayer meeting. As soon as you look at yourself, faith goes out the window. If you want to lose a little bit of faith, just have a look at you. But you start to trust the Lord who is in us. Jesus said he will be with you and he will be within you. Holy Spirit, your God, the greatest power in the universe is in me, and you're good and everything you do is good. And so you want to get me out of this I can't go on anymore moment. By the way, it's a moment that you can get out of. Isn't that good? The good news is you come out of it. Come on, it's time to come out of it. It's time to come out of the weaknesses, the things you've struggled with all your life. Come on out. It's a day of freedom in the church of Jesus Christ. You don't have to stay in what you're weak in. Come on, we can come out. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves. Come on, people, let's not do this anymore. But that we would rely on God who raises the dead. So Paul has got his mind, I feel dead, but he's the one who raises me. Now this is only happening, do you understand? All of this exchange from I can't cope into I'm trusting him and the resurrection power, it's all happening in somebody's heart first. Not in their circumstances. Your circumstances will follow what you're believing in your heart. Come on, the victory starts in your heart when you start to trust him or trust his word, his promise to you. Just rely on the unchanging word or faithfulness of God. Thank you, Lord. We're having a special time this morning because God wants you out into strength. He wants you to come out. Whatever the weakness, come and out. This is the day for you that you won't trust in yourself anymore to get over what you can't get over. That you won't trust in yourself to stop doing what you can't stop yourself doing. Come on, some of you are just looking at me like, we want to go there, don't we? We want the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And this isn't an emotional thing, it's a responsive thing. We're responding with our hearts today, Lord. I don't want to live with this anymore. This weakness, this frailty, this inability to give something up or do something that you've asked me to do. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm trusting you today to be able to do what in my flesh I can't do. To rely on somebody, to trust the Lord, is when you and I come to that leaning. Scripture definition comes into it like this. Leaning of the entire personality on God. Not a leg over there. It's funny, on the way in to the meeting, like a little bit of, let me just trust that until I see God proves himself. Just throw yourself into God. That's the powerful place. Full on. Jesus, all of me. Here I am. Everything I have, I just trust you with my life, my future. I don't understand very much at all, but here I am, trusting in you. When we were driving in, I picked up Labib from the hotel on Sunday morning, and he said, what if we're wrong? I said, sorry? He said, well, what if we're wrong about Jesus? I said, well, we're not. He said, do you have a backup plan? I said, you are joking, Labib. I don't think I should allow you to preach this morning. I said, what do you mean a backup plan? Of course I don't have a backup plan. Jesus is the plan. I am fully persuaded. You can't tell me I need a backup. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. And he said, just testing. But do you have a backup plan in your circumstances? Have you got a little B plan if the A plan doesn't work? That we might rely on God, leaning of the entire personality on Him. The power is there in that place. That's the place. Resurrection power, life. That's where your power lives. The leaning of your whole person on Him. He loves you. And He wants to do what you cannot do. But He's waiting for the believing, trusting, relying, full-on dependence. So Paul says, it happened, all these difficult things. What happened was it actually moved me to trust God. Sometimes I think, oh, here comes another issue, another problem. This is something I've got to deal with in my own life and my own understanding of what God has called me to do. And I'm like, another challenge, praise the Lord, another challenge. But if I understand it in the right way, if I trust Him, that's where I'll see the glorious power of God do what I know I could never do. I will never forget when we came to plant this church. Talk about, Hebrews speaks about, out of weakness we're made strong. Hebrews 11, 32 to 33, you'll find out by faith. Through faith, you need faith, you've got to believe, trust the Lord. Out of weakness, they were made strong. How many of you want to see that in your life? out of something that's weak, God makes you strong. And that is the power of God strong, not human power. So, I mean, there it is. The difference is phenomenal. And when we came, we were as weak as kittens or the weakest thing you can think of. And we looked at Pastor Colin and said, oh, we don't know what to do. Plant a church. What do you do? I don't know what to do. And he said, probably the best place to be in. Because if it's God, you'll see power. You'll see God do it. If it isn't, it won't work. Brilliant, thanks. But I realized, and Labib said it to us actually at the weekend. He thanked us for planting this church. He honored us as women because many people think. And one of the persecutions we get is because we are women. But the same power, it's not the power of a woman or a man that builds a church, is it? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Come on! Is church the power of God or the power of man or woman? See, the vessel is just the carrier of the power. Look at you. You've got the power. Paul says here, on Him we've set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. And he says in verse 10, He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. Now, there is a faith confession. So Paul's saying, He has delivered us, and basically, in my future, God's going to deliver us, because God is the delivering power of my life. If I'm in a strait, in trouble, the devil's got me front, behind, I don't care, the Lord, He will deliver me. That's it. That's where I live. God is my deliverer. Amen. In him I will trust. He had this faith confession. You see, when you pray and you're feeling weak, or you can't overcome whatever you're facing, or you've got these human kind of personality, you might even think it's a disorder. Well, there's no disorder in the Holy Spirit. He's able to put order where there is disorder. He is the healer of the entire person. He's able to save. That means heal you to the uttermost. That means spirit, soul, mind, will, emotions, every single bit of you saved. We have such a low grade revelation, really, of what it is that Jesus wants to do. He wants to save all of you fully, so that the power of God may be like so strong on your life that people will go, well, that's God. And when they say, that's God, basically, God gets the glory. God gets the glory because it wasn't you. All you did was rely and trust on him. And then his power raised his perfection, his love in you, his ability to go on, his ability to pray for the sick, his ability to come out of a dead situation and say, I'm alive to serve God. He kept me alive, he has delivered me, and he will always deliver me until I come into his heavenly kingdom. Do you want to know this power? Paul said, just turn to Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read this and then we're going to pray. Ah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Lord doesn't want to leave anyone out. He doesn't want you, just because you think it's just you. You're not that special to miss out. You're that special, he includes you. Your freedom is waiting for you. Deliverance is here and now. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul had this what scripture calls the messenger and Satan tormenting Paul. Now, I want to just make this clear, because the Lord does not want any believer or anyone to endure sickness. Sickness is not God's way of training you and me. He doesn't put sickness on people. He took it on himself on the cross. So if Jesus took it, he's definitely not confused about taking it and then handing it out to a few. Jesus took all our sins on the cross and he took all our sicknesses. That by his stripes we are healed. So this is not, I repeat, not, and I emphasize again, not sickness. Sickness is not the will of God. Never, ever, ever, ever. Never. Just look at Isaiah 53 and may the Lord give you a revelation of that, because it's not his will. That's why we have doctors called to see people get better, do what they can. That's all part of the inherent desire. You, when you're sick, you don't want to be, do you? It's not within anybody that wants, I want to be sick. I want to be well. Strong, serving the Lord. This messenger of Satan was like a messenger of Satan is somebody, usually a messenger is a person who Satan was using to torment, attack, persecute Paul and his ministry. That's how I interpret this. And it says in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, now this is interesting, Paul's feeling very weak with this actual constant torment hitting out at him. Has anybody of you ever felt this? I felt this constant barrage where you feel Satan is just on and on and on. And I know we can submit. Paul knew he could submit to God and resist the devil. Paul knew what his authority was. But sometimes it brings you, when things don't work, it brings you back to the Lord and say, Lord, how do I get the victory in this? Because this way isn't working. There must be a strategy for me to win. And so he prays and he says, Lord, take it away. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power. Now, don't just think about weakness. Think about power here. For my power, God says, is made perfect in your weakness. You do understand that God isn't saying, my power is able to keep you very, very, very weak, so you live your life weak. He says, my power is made perfect. It comes in where there is a weakness, so that you're even more powerful because you need my power. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast, Paul says, more gladly about what I can't do. How frail I feel. How difficult I think things are. I'll boast about those things, not because I'm elevating and bigging up those things, but because, Lord, I thank you that you're the one who turns around my weaknesses into the power of God. I will boast about the weaknesses that Christ's power may rest on me. So Paul says, I'm not going to stay weak, because if Christ's power is resting on me, there will be a power that will be so mighty, the same power, that mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead, will come upon my life so that I can conquer and win because of the power of Almighty God. Lord, make this a reality in all of our lives. That's why, for Christ's sake, he says, I delight in weaknesses. Now, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Lord, you know, I admit I'm weak, and while you don't want me to sort of camp here, I delight in that, because I'm going to rely on you for that power that makes me strong, even though in myself I'm weak. I rely on God to be my strength in this, not on myself. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Where are we at with that, church? Question. Not only what are we doing with that power, but where are we at with, do I really delight in having issues in my life, problems? It's an unusual thing to do, but if you've got faith for the power, you understand that there will be an exchange of weakness into strength. And so the rejoicing comes from, Father, thank you, that the very area that was weak in my life, you're going to make it powerful. Have you ever seen somebody saved out of alcoholism or drugs? Or they often go right back into that world and preach and deliver people from that life. Why? Because what they were weak in, they know God has delivered them. And there's power in their life. And so they can actually say, hey, God set me free. He can set you free. Whatever victory you've had because you've needed the power of God, you can go into somebody's life and say, hey, I've got faith for that. God is able to deliver you in that area. I used to be hooked up on all these wrong things. But now the power of God rests on my life in that area because I've needed him to change that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.